tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everyone, welcome to AfterBuzz TV. This is The Hundred, Season 2, Episode 16, Blood Must Have Blood, Part 2. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Tari J. Miller, and joining me today is Mr. Ben Bateman.
What's up everybody, how you guys all doing?
Alexis Torres.
Hey everybody, I'm doing good.
And if you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe, like, comment and all that stuff. We're on iTunes, we're on YouTube, we're on SoundCloud. Everywhere you want to be, we are. Also, make sure to follow us on the hashtag ABTVTheHundred, and also on the social medias, Twitter specifically, my handle being Tari J. It's TauriJay. What's yours, Ben?
Ben Bateman Media, Twitter and Instagram. Hit me up.
And all over social media, ATorres890.
Awesome. And today we're going to be joined by a very special guest. We're going to have Cass Morgan calling in from the East Coast, so that's exciting.
She is the writer of the 100 book series. She was kind enough to send us all these cool books that you see on the table here, which we're really, really excited about. So just real quick before we call, we probably want to establish.
Well, I believe she's on.
Oh, do we have you now?
Yes. Hey, guys.
Yay! Oh, hey, what's going on?
How
are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you great.
Just fine.
Awesome.
You sound amazing. Yeah, we just watched the finale. It was incredible. I guess you live tweeted the whole time, right?
Yes, and I had 3 hours to recover because I watched the East Coast feed. So if we were speaking then, I would sound very different.
Quite an episode, I would have to say.
Yeah, definitely.
So many predictions.
Cool. So why don't we jump right into it? We'll start with Clark and Octavia. They finally came together after, you know, the stunning end of the last episode. We get Octavia not knowing what's going on, Clark still in shock. They come together and they have a kind of a tizzy. They're arguing about Clark being essentially seen as the savior, whereas Octavia has done the work to integrate herself with everyone else. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
We'll start with you.
No, don't make me.
Please. I was going to say, let's start with
what
Cass.
What do you think about that, Cass?
I want to hear Cass has to say.
Nothing.
I'm totally fascinated by the relationship, especially since it's so different than it is in the books. I can sort of watch. I feel really invested in them as people, as characters, but it's sort of like sending your kids off to college. You raise them a certain way, but once they're out in the world, it's up to them to decide who they are and what they want to do. So it's been fascinating to watch Clark and Octavia react to very different challenges than I ever saw them. And I just hope they can put their differences aside, because I think in many ways they make a great team.
Now, because you know, I'm sure you've watched every episode of the TV show and you've done so much writing, do you feel like you're watching your characters on television, or have you sort of found a way to separate that out just because the book and the show, they are so different, they take different paths?
I've definitely separated them, which is great because then I can watch as a fan, which is really fun because I love the show. Though, the schedules have been really interesting. So I was writing book 3 while the show had already aired, and people ask me if I start to imagine the actors in my head, and is that annoying? And it's a privilege. Mm-hmm. This is such an incredible cast. In order, you know, to have people like Eliza Taylor and Bob Morley in my head, it almost feels a little sneaky, like I've stolen them or I'm doing something inappropriate, but it's been really fun and really helpful.
I like that.
Yeah. Do you have a cast member that you really feel like they are as close to the imagination of the character you had when you wrote it as possible? Like, who's the one that matches what you imagined the closest? Or do you have one?
Physically, Marie as Octavia, it's uncanny.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I see that.
It was almost frightening when I saw her photo for the first time because it felt like someone had hacked into my brain, but it was surreal and really exciting.
She's about as badass as it gets. It's pretty much ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
My jaw was dropping in tonight's episode. It's like, oh, I love you as a character in the show. You're so good.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Ben has a reputation for falling in love with 100 characters.
Look, they're great characters. What can I say?
Oh, no, you're going to get your heart broken at some point.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's going to die.
It's inevitable.
That's what she's getting.
Oh,
yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
no one's
what
safe.
Are you saying?
Though I do think it's fairly fascinating that this show at this point has managed to avoid killing, for the most part, killing main characters. Instead, it favors wiping out huge groups of people.
Right.
Like killing 300 to 500 people at a time. Whole populations is like, that's the tearjerker moment. As opposed to, like, all we've seen is Finn, basically. Finn and Wells.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's, you know, nuking a whole floor or detonating 300 bodies or dropping a bomb or letting a town get hit by a missile.
Right.
That's the tearjerker moment. It's kind of interesting.
What's that quote about if you kill one man, you're a murderer, but if you kill a million, you're a hero? Maybe that has something to do with it.
I like that quote.
I like that quote.
I like that a lot. The fans are confused. They don't know what you are.
They don't know what I...
They're
Hey, guys. Cass, I'm playing Wells right now.
Dead Wells.
Everyone, I'm Wells. Yeah, I'm dead Wells.
Oh my god, I love it.
So yeah, if you were to jump on YouTube right now, you'd see me covered in blood from neck to nape, I guess.
Yeah, I tried with what I had.
No, yeah, it was good.
Alexis is really just destroying the contest, though. It's like not even close.
Seriously.
Well, it's awesome because the reason why I have all this craziness. I'm Lexa, by the way. If you can't see me, iTunes or Cass.
You look fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
She looks great.
My roommate. Her name's Aviva, and she actually works for Wasteland Weekend. If you don't know what that is, Google it, because I can't name it off the top of my head right now. But if you love Mad Max, you can, and you want to hang out with a bunch of people who also love Mad Max, in September, you should go totally hang out with everybody and dress up just like this in the desert. It's fantastic.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah. So all of the stuff that I'm wearing besides my jacket and my dress is all from her because she runs it, so...
I got a haircut today, guys. Otherwise, it'd be a little longer. I would be a little closer to Johnny Whitworth to well... Now I don't have a hand either if I was this character. So
that's true.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
spoilers.
Tried to be Cage, you know. I hope it...
I like it. It looks
nice.
Oh,
is that what I look like?
Do I have that much cleavage showing?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm like straight out of the 70s right now.
I have the chat roll up and the video playing, so he's just like,
geez.
Oh.
Okay. Well, there's no button in the middle here, so
the audience
gonna...
loves it. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. They're loving it.
Okay.
Cool. I love how everyone's like, Dead Wells? Really?
Yeah, right?
Soon.
Too soon. Hey, every day I pour one out for him just because, like, it was the biggest bummer when he went away because he was my favorite character. He was super stalwart. Like, in a traditional series or book, he would most likely be what Bellamy is. It's like he's the second fiddle, but he's also the moral compass. But he died in episode 4 and I cried.
I know.
Do you remember watching episode 4 when Wells got offed Cass and feeling like wow, we're going down a path, like that's where this show's going? Because obviously the first 4 episodes versus everything we've seen since have been very different.
Yes, I knew it definitely signified something about the risks the show was willing to take and the darkness they would explore. So it was heartbreaking for me because Wells is a character I love, but it was also really liberating. And I appreciate that the storylines diverge between the books and the show really early because, especially since the books were being published pretty much concurrently and because books and TV are very different media, it wouldn't do anybody any favors to have two similar storylines, people going back and forth comparing. So, I was sort of happy for them to kill Wells and allow him to live on in just the books. I think that was an important difference.
Right.
So you've written 300 books now.
It feels like I've written 300 books.
Yes.
And you were super, super sweet to send us multiple sets of all 3.
It's so funny because I literally sat there and I was like, I bought the first one. And then I was like, okay, Amazon, I need the other two. And every single time it was like, oh, it's either used or something. And I was like, I just want to buy these books so that Cass can just sign them. And it would make me so happy. But now I have all of them. So I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah, we have all these.
Awesome.
So I wanted to ask you a quick question. As a writer, so your book series here has taken on a bit of a life of its own as far as it's one of these, like, hot button, just loved by the teen audience kind of books. And obviously the show is its whole own animal now. But the book series falls in line with everything from Twilight to Divergent to, I don't want to say 50 Shades of Grey because it's the wrong thing, but you kind of get the genre that I'm going with. These
young adult,
enormously popular. As you were coming up as a writer, say 5-10 years ago, did you imagine you would have a book series that fit into that genre that was so beloved by such a wide young audience?
Absolutely not. Everything I wrote was always super weird and, if not unreadable, definitely unsellable. And so it's been a real privilege for me to work with Alloy Entertainment, which is sort of the brain trust behind The Hundred. So they actually came to me with the idea, and then they came to me with the seed of the idea of 100 kids being sent to recolonize Earth. It was basically a 3-sentence pitch. And then it was so, so much fun for me to run with it because I could take some of my interests and my background, but have this incredible structure and this incredible premise. And I don't think I ever would have come up with the idea on my own, but given just that little nugget of an idea, it turned into something I could have never imagined.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that. So
yeah,
that you
she
were,
answered my question.
You pitched the idea of the series and then wrote the series to coincide with the television show. That's really unique. You mentioned weird stuff that you like
to
write.
Well, actually, they pitched it as a book idea. So we wrote it as a book, and okay, it was already written, and then it was sold and developed as a TV show. It just happened really quickly.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Because the show, I think, premiered before the book even came out, right? Isn't that what happened?
No, the book came out about 6 months before the show.
Okay. Yeah. I think I read that it took you 6 months to write the book, and by that time, the pilot was being finished up, right?
Okay, that makes sense. You mentioned weird writing that you did growing up, unsellable, stuff like that. Give us a couple examples of the kind of things that you like to write, if you don't mind. I'm very curious.
Oh, God. You know, just things that high school and college students write when they're trying to be deep and let everyone know that they're totally misunderstood. I've got to drag some of that up. But, God, I think I wrote something about suicidal fairies at some point. I must be going through my goth phase.
The fans are going to go nuts right now. You're going to start getting tweeted about that immediately.
I would totally read that.
Kickstarter.
That is, like, my genre of book for some reason.
I would love to see your costume for that. I bet you'd look amazing.
Yes, I will do it. It'll be some weird, grungy-looking fairy that's got, like, blood squirting out somewhere.
Yes.
But it's funny because the fans right now in the chat world are talking about, like, 50 Shades of Murphy or 50 Shades of the 100 Cage's Hand.
Hot.
Yes.
Nice.
I love this.
No, it's good. That was a really, really fun episode to watch. Vigilante justice on Lincoln's part there at the end. That was nice to see it wrap up like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was a little worried that maybe Cage was going to somehow creep on as a villain into season 3.
I wanted him to survive for a little bit. Just a little bit. I mean, trust me, instant gratification that he died. But at the same time, I kind of wanted to see where he would be in season 3.
Yeah, though, I mean, I feel like all his power was with the people he was trying to protect. So he would basically just become a nuisance, or they'd have to make him kind of shift like they did for Murphy.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
But, yeah, what do you want to...
Oh, no, go ahead, please. No.
After you, Ben. After you.
What, I wanted to know, beyond The 100, do you have writing projects in mind that you're working on?
Yes. I have something new that I obviously can't talk about, but I've been tweeting really cryptic things, like listening to Take Me to Church on repeat for 16 hours while I work on the scene and just leave people to try to determine what on earth that could possibly mean.
Well, that sounds intriguing.
Yeah, seriously.
Like yeah. What do you think that would be about? What do you think that would be the theme song for?
Geez. 16 hours on repeat, Take Me to Church?
God, well, that could be, the song is about doing it.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, is it really?
I
thought it was about a guy being in an abusive relationship, kind of. No?
Guys, the only part I've ever listened to is Take Me to Church. I've never listened to any of the lyrics of that song, so Going to church, I don't know, for 16 hours, maybe? Who does that?
See, that's what happens with music.
Yeah, it's all interpretive.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know.
I'm going to go bananas crazy.
Oh, all right, do it.
So your project is about, it's about a man being abused and going to church, at some point... he has sex inside said church, and then begs someone to take him back for redemption.
Ooh. Exactly. Yeah, just the YA version of that. But you hit it on the head.
Nice.
All right.
Nice job. Well, Tari's always on the nose about a lot of things, so.
Dead Wells is incredibly intelligent.
I was joking. It's probably more akin to the Suicidal Fairies. But all this is real.
That's a thing. Even if you just wrote me, like, 2 pages, like a short story, I'd still read it and love it forever.
Oh, thank you.
Have you gotten to spend much time on set in Vancouver?
I spent one day, which was pretty much the best day of my life.
Really?
I was so nervous and so excited. I didn't think I'd be able to get a word out, which was fine because I thought I was just going to watch. But then I was sent with a camera crew to interview the actors.
Wow.
And
very nice.
When I landed at the airport, I assumed I was going to be taken by Border Patrol because they would assume I was smuggling drugs or something because no one else would be that nervous. And how can I explain? No, I'm nervous because I'm interviewing the actors in the show based on my book. It just sounds like nonsense. But it was just magical. They film in the most beautiful location and driving up the mountain in this forest and then seeing a crashed spaceship, it was a surreal doesn't even begin to encompass it. It was incredible.
That's pretty wild. And you were physically, you were meeting the people that physically embodied these characters you had created in a lot of cases, right? I mean.
Yeah. And I don't like to overuse the word literally, but it was literally stepping into my dream.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have a writer, a specific writer that you feel like you've drawn the most inspiration from for this material, for the 100?
It's really a mashup of a bunch of different things, but I'm a big sci-fi nerd, as evidenced in the names of the characters. The main characters are all named after famous sci-fi writers who I love, which I assume you guys picked up on.
Some of them. I mean, I'm definitely a loose sci-fi fan. I mean, in terms of written work, I'm a big sci-fi movie fan. Give us some examples for the fans.
Let's see. Well, Clark is Arthur C. Clarke, and Wells... Anybody?
H.G.
H.G. Wells.
Exactly. That's what I got from that. I was like, are we talking about Wells?
And Octavia's a tricky one. Anyone? She's Octavia Butler, who's sort of like a feminist sci-fi writer that I like.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And Bellamy's Edward Bellamy. And then there are minor characters in the book who aren't in the show, and that's where I gave them the really wacky sci-fi names. There's a Huxley.
Right.
Yeah. I think I want to sneak a Bradbury in at some point.
Nice. That's something to look forward to.
Yes.
Sci-fi question. Star Trek or Star Wars?
Oh, I knew you were going to do that.
Did you have that one written down? I'm sorry.
I kind of did.
Well, I would have said Star Wars until about 10 minutes ago, until I saw William Shatner tweet just one word, and it was Bellamy! Exclamation point, and my allegiance shifted in that moment.
He's a huge fan. He's such a big... I see him
live tweets all the
every
time.
Week. I really want to reach out to Shatner and see if we can get him in studio for, like, the kickoff for season 3.
Oh,
the wackiest guest on Earth. I mean, it's such a strange person to have tweeting about the 100. Like, I would never expect William Shatner to be that guy that was tweeting about
the 100. It's like something out of, like, a Family Guy sketch. Like, it's so surreal, but it's fabulous.
Yeah, no, that's really, really, really awesome. Well, Cass, we have a bottle of champagne here that if you were here with us, we would be sharing with you. And we're going to pop it in your honor. These guys are getting nervous because I'm unwinding it, and we're in a TV studio.
I'm fine. I'm stalwart.
But you're going to hear it.
Really?
Nice.
And we're popped. And in your honor, I'm going to pour this out because we are so...
Oh. Cheers, guys. Pour one out for Wells, too.
I just gave Tari the foamiest glass ever.
Yep.
See if this was any less foamy.
Probably not.
It's still really foamy.
Oh, yay for foam.
It'll settle.
Makes lattes good.
It does.
I think that'll conclude our portion. But so thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, definitely.
We are going to
thank you for having me.
You're amazing. That's all I wanted to let you know.
Yeah, and please, we would love to talk to you in season 3 when we see more crazy things revealed. We're cheersing and taking a sip in honor of you and the end of season 2, an amazing season. So congratulations on a wonderful book series.
Yay!
And we look forward to talking to you again next time.
Thanks so much, and I look forward to coming back when you guys are dressed as sexy robots from the future.
Oh,
it's gonna happen.
So
I've already got my costume.
It's a clue.
I've got a costume already in mind.
All right.
Thanks, Cass. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Take care.
That was awesome.
All right. Well,
nice.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I loved it.
All the ideas right there. So yeah, now now we can traditionally kind of recap the episode.
Steve,
how do you go back to that?
I'm taking this off. It's pinching my neck. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm listening. No, I'm going to talk while you do that,
so that
the camera is all on this guy. How you guys doing?
Ooh.
What's up, Dead Wells? I'm just going to call you Dead Wells for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, go for it. I'm dying to hear you say it. Anyway. Jeez. All right, so, we can throw that on there. Since we're in a transition, I'm going to talk to you about iTunes really quickly.
Yay!
And YouTube, and SoundCloud. Make sure that you subscribe, and you like, and you also comment and keep track of us all throughout. Go on, and if you haven't already, give us a rating of 5 stars or 4 stars or whatever you feel like we deserve. I think we're doing a really good job, personally.
Yeah.
And if you agree, throw on some stars in our iTunes, and then give us some thumbs up on our YouTube. I know that one of our commenters was a little upset that we don't give the YouTube as much credit as we should, and I feel like we are really good about going on the comments and responding to you, but the next time that we do this, season 3, we'll make sure to throw out some YouTube comments as well.
And really quickly, just to point out, I know we had talked a lot last week about a specific fan getting a call in, so that specific fan, we talked about it, and we decided we needed to honor the show mascot, Jill. So, Jill Bauer, at the end of the episode, we're going to cue you up for 5 minutes if you're available. I'm not sure if you watch us live or if you watch it afterwards, so you might be tearing your hair out if you watch this after it goes live and see this at the end of the episode. But that's what we're going to do at the end of the episode. So, in the meantime, let's get back to dissecting this juicy finale.
So much to talk about.
It's a big one.
I know. There's so much.
So, yeah. Everything takes place inside of Mount Weather. So let's start in Mount Weather, guys. I love that we get the reunion of Bellamy and Clark and Monty, Jasper, Octavia, all of them together again. Some of them for the first time this season. This is the first time that Octavia has seen Jasper and Monty. She's been apart from Bellamy for a majority of the season. So I thought it was a really good moment getting there. And I thought it was also funny that they immediately split up.
I know, yeah. Right? That was the first thing I was like, why would you do that? Horror movie 101, don't do that.
Because we need multiple storylines going on.
But it made sense because there was a lot of jobs that they had to do. So it made sense.
I really like the scene between Eliza Taylor and Marie. I always say Agvaropoulos. Do we know?
I'm not even going to try.
Does anybody know this?
Nope.
Just like that.
Agvaropoulos?
Octavia?
Yeah, Octavia.
Yeah.
Clark and Octavia, it was awesome. It was great, the two of them. But I do think I wanted to point one thing out. So, though I do think that Clark has, Eliza Taylor has done an amazing job. And I say this, I've said this a lot of weeks, like, I really, really think that she's come full circle as just a great leader of the show. And I say it every single week, it's very difficult.
Like, I feel like in this episode, though, she really, really brought it out, though.
Oh, yeah.
I feel.
And there were some great moments, but I will say this.
What?
From the first moment, and I said this on the first episode I did with you, you see Marie and you see Clark, and you're sort of like, well, it's the first episode of season one, I'm sorry, not season two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, okay, this girl is the lead, but this girl is like the, you know, super smoking hot, like, other female lead. And yeah. usually with most of these shows, there's two, so one of them will end up being the most popular. But as the show went, they really didn't do much until this season to push Octavia. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely felt like tonight watching this episode, I was like, well, yeah, like, Clark's the strongest character. She has to shoulder the responsibility, but, like, that's the coolest character. Like, they've made Octavia the coolest. They've given her the best arc. She, like, she's a total badass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's, like, a grounder and a tree. Like, I mean, she's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and the thing is funny that it took so long for it to come around, but I genuinely think that that's what happened. I think she's the easiest to like character in the show now.
Right.
And, oh. No, I was going to say, I didn't even really notice how long it took, to be honest, because it was so well-developed and full of detail mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's why
2 years.
Yeah, and that's why I liked her arc, was because of the fact that it wasn't kind of rushed or anything.
Yeah.
Like, we already knew that Clark was going to be a leader in some way, but I feel like her turnaround was kind of fast. You can yell at me for it, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's how I felt about it. I mean, we all knew that she was a strong character. But it wasn't like how Octavia was, like how we said before, where, you know, she's sitting there like, we're here, bitches, to
yeah.
like
right.
throwing freaking knives like and daggers right. across the hallway. Like, that's a huge difference than
yeah.
what any of the other characters have gone through.
Yeah, just ultimate badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would argue that, like, Clark isn't necessarily a stronger character. Clark was kind of forced into a leadership role, but
true.
Octavia took it upon herself to try to take on more responsibility, to try to integrate with the grounders and everything. Like, if anything, though they started on different paths, like, she's been far surpassed Clark has been far surpassed by Octavia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we see it in the moment that she's sitting there talking to Jasper, and she's like, you can't worry about things you can't control. Whereas on the other side of the building, we have Clark freaking out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a really, like, sad and just intense way. She kind of falls apart, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, even, and she kind of wins. I know I'm jumping way ahead. I didn't much care for the last scene. I didn't like it. Her wandering off into the woods. I know that's, like, the end of the episode.
Right.
But it's, like, the conclusion of her arc. And I just felt,
yeah, me either.
It just felt like melodramatic and like, what are you doing? There's Reapers out there somewhere. You have a gun. You're one person. Like,
well, I mean, at this point, I guess let's, all right, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
real quick.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine. Well, I feel like, I mean, at this point, the grounders kind of know about how to get rid of the Reapers. Like, cause I mean, it's essentially weaning them off of the drug that they're on. So, but beyond that, I felt like it was a good moment because it was her understanding Dante. Because this whole time, we've seen Dante as kind of like a neutral evil, something like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, and all this time she's been trying to play up as the good, she's been trying to do good, but we have that moment with Dante where he's like, I'm not going to be a part of my people because I haven't earned that right. Like, I've done too many things to set me apart from them.
Right.
And so I felt like that was a reflection of that moment. And I think that it was her finally understanding what it takes to win a war.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely went through a ton. Like, the last three episodes, like, crazy, crazy, crazy amount.
Yeah.
But I still, I mean, we won't really, you know, go into that. Anyway, let's stick with the first bit that we can take
all
through
right.
the whole episode, rather than recaps, but reactions. So
rewind it back.
Start with those two, and we get into Mount Weather.
Yeah, so, I mean, jumping off of that, we get Clark and Dante.
Mm-hmm.
So, her, Bellamy, and Monty go into Dante's chamber, not realizing that he brokered the deal between the grounders and Mount Weather. And so they're trying to get his help, but he refuses.
Mm-hmm.
So they take him to the, what is that called? The control room and hold him hostage. I mean, did you guys think that it would work? Did you guys think that Cage would give up everybody
for
his dad?
Nope.
No, he was like threatening
nope.
to lock his dad out of the
yeah.
building earlier. I mean, I didn't think Clark was just going to shoot him like
mm-hmm.
that.
I did.
He thought she was just going to kill him.
I mean, I feel like we've seen her test us at one, like, a lot, especially since, like, the missile and everything like that. I feel like even though that was more of Lexa's kind of, you know, advice kind of creeping into her ear, I feel like now she does understand after everything that's happened that she needs to do what literally whatever she can do to get her people out. And if killing... I'm trying to remember.
Dante.
Dante. Yeah. I was like, Cage, no. President, no.
His dad.
Wallace.
Yeah. You'll, just say Wallace. You'll always be safe.
White dude.
Oh, Wallace.
Yeah. Dante, it was going to get her at least closer to her goal. And as soon as she pulled her gun out, I was like, she's going to kill him.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. I thought for sure that she was going to do it right away, not kind of like, don't make me do this kind of thing.
Right.
I definitely thought she was just going to be like, he was like, oh, you don't have the guts. Bam.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And then for it to go from that to you still aren't going to give me what I want to I'm just going to irradiate the level and kill everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I said this to Cass, but I think it's really interesting that that's the fourth time in this show's history in two seasons that, like, I don't know, like, what specific number, but, it, like, seemingly, like, a couple hundred or more people have died in one mm-hmm. scene.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fascinating that they're more willing to... And, I mean, those are... I remember noting the first season, like, when they offload the 300 people, it's a big moment. It's a big risk the show takes where you're like, they're not really going to kill all these people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then they do... Then they kill, I mean, it's not as big of a deal when they kill all the grounders at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But then you go, you know, you go a little further and it's like you drop a bomb. Now, the kid you're supposed to sympathize with, the little kid whose dad, who's Lovejoy, they didn't show him. They killed Lovejoy's son.
Yeah.
All those little toddlers died.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like pretty heavy stuff. More impactful, I think, than even if we were to have lost like Abby or Raven or any of the characters that were threatened. It would have been painful, but the idea of killing children and women and innocent people.
Yeah.
Large groups of them.
Yeah. I mean,
pretty impactful stuff.
But at the same time, I feel like how we've talked about before, just war, there's always going to be casualties, whether it's children, you know, or anything like that. So I feel like that the finale really showed that it's not the main people, like, you know, that usually get hurt. It's usually the people who get caught in the crossfire, which was, sadly enough, the kids and everybody in that room, which I was laughing because we were pointing out when we were watching it that that CW didn't show any of the kids' bodies. It was just the adults.
Just the adults.
Mm-hmm. And the soccer ball.
What? Yeah. Even just the thought of it is like, kind of unsettling.
It's
interesting. I mean, I did like at the end of all that... I thought that the full interaction when Clark says to Abby, she says, I tried to be the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Abby says, maybe there are no good guys.
Yeah.
I like the whole interaction, but I especially like the first line. The second line was a little too, like, tie a bow on it.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's like, she might have said it. She just to make her daughter feel better or whatever. But the first line, I just loved Eliza Taylor's performance there.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. really liked it. She's just her, just kind of upset, like, I've gone through so much.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I just had to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I tried my best. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So I killed Lovejoy's son.
Is that just him?
Yeah, no, specifically him. He was crawling around, and then she came up and...
Come on.
Oh, why would you do that?
Come on, Dead Wells.
I had to. I'm dead. I could do what I want.
Speaking of, where do you guys think... Oh, that's more for predictions, but I noticed that he's not dead, so I would like to talk about that.
Who?
Predictions.
You mean
Wells?
Jenna?
Wells is definitely dead.
Yeah.
Not Wells.
You mean my father?
Yeah.
Sure. Jaffa.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. meanwhile, during the irradiation, we have Octavia, Jasper, and Maya hanging out, planning on killing Cage. I have a side thing about this.
Do it.
In that, so Octavia was Jasper's love interest the first season.
Right. For like a minute.
For a good amount.
It was a good amount.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a couple episodes.
No, it was like a majority of the season.
He spent a lot of the time trying to impress her and trying to, like,
right.
and then
be
when,
cool.
Yeah, and then when Lincoln came into the picture, he was still kind of trying.
Yeah,
and
but
then
he was...
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
He was
Come
screwed.
On, this is Ricky Will we're talking
Seriously.
About here. The guy
no
who loves chocolate and looks like that.
Yeah, he's a charmer.
So, I mean, I thought it was interesting having what one could consider an ex-love and a, like, your current love in the same room and that whole dynamic. It never showed, and it was never a thing, but I thought that was interesting.
It was.
I think it was indicative of how far, as a group, they've all come. Like, that's like high school, and now we're in the war. Like, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, I had a crush on you, and we were running around, and it was really fun back then. It's like, we're going to have to murder a couple hundred people right now, and you've slit a bunch of people's throats. You just did it just a second ago.
Yeah.
Or, no, it was a second after, but, like, that's, I think, the, you know... the comparison. It's interesting that now, as the season's over, you don't have that silly division that we kept talking about of, like, the lighthearted storyline over here and the really intense storyline over here.
Yeah.
You know, it all just hit the fan. And
I mean, it's the finale. It makes sense.
Yeah, so, anyway.
I mean, we technically had a lighthearted storyline with Murphy, but...
Kind of.
The way it ended, but and we'll get there.
Some setup.
But, so, the way that we had been setting up this Maya conflict the whole time is, I mean, she had very few options. She wasn't immune to radiation. She needed to escape, but she couldn't be with her people.
Right.
Do you guys think that she was actually going to die this episode?
It's weird. When she was sitting there melting, I was like, I feel like actually my prediction one or two episodes ago was that she was going to die. I'm pretty sure I had said that. But
okay.
She was sitting there and I was like, of course. That was how I felt as I was watching it. I didn't feel surprised at all in the moment. I was just sort of like, yeah, I mean, obviously, you tie a bow on it. Like, this is a character that was introduced early on in the season. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to be a driving force behind a lot of what Jasper did.
Yeah.
So she was an important piece of the Mount Weather storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And she, just like she said last episode, there's no option. She doesn't have a second option. You're not going to use the bone marrow from the 100 to save Maya, and then she can go out in the wild with them. It doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
She represents that storyline. So for her to die, and it's the ultimate tragedy for Jasper.
Yeah.
It's an expendable character for impact at the end of the season. Everything, you know what I mean? It just all lined up for me. Like, not that I wanted to see her go, but when you talk about which character is the easiest to kill off in this episode,
right?
She's kind of the easiest. It actually made me a little bit, like, thinking about each time this season that one of the main characters or sort of the important characters has almost died, or in a position where they sort of should have died. I can't actually believe that Abby and Kane and Lexa and Indra, I can't believe they all survived. You think about a bomb went off, and like Indra looked like she was dead. She was shot. She seemed to be just fine. Like Kane almost was dead. He was just lying there. You're like, he's dead.
Right.
Yeah, but they got him back to the camp in time.
I mean, yeah. They have protagonist armor.
Did we see a scene where Abby and that group got abducted, by the way? Or was that just they said there's a small group, go get him, right?
Yeah, that was
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So,
because they were the ones still left in Tondisi.
Yes, and I'm actually really glad that they weren't dead, but at the same time, I totally understand where you're coming from, where I kind of wanted to see a major character besides just, like, Maya or Fox or whoever passing away in some shape or form.
They have a hard time doing it now, I think. I think they've established a big connection with a lot of these characters. Can I ask a question? How do you get drilled into your leg and, like... I mean, I know Abby was on a stretcher and Raven was being carried, but it feels like they're just like, yeah, you can just drill into people and they'll heal in like a couple days.
You have to make a tourniquet and then put pressure on the wound.
I mean, Harper's fine. She was like drilled for days.
She's still alive. I'm so proud of her. I even brought that up when he was like Harper and he gave her a hug and I was like, yeah, Harper's still alive. Get it, girl.
She's a tough one.
But I feel like if Harper's still alive after all that, and they were doing, like, I don't know how to put this, but, like...
Extensive
drilling. They were doing some intense work, that the fact that, you know, Abby and Raven was only one part of their leg, and they weren't really doing too much.
They went into Raven's stomach.
Did they? I missed that.
No, they went into her leg.
Did they? I thought they went into her stomach. Felt so bad for Lindsay Morgan.
I remember it's the leg because I was like, is that the leg that she can't really feel?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I couldn't tell. I mean, she screamed, so I'm assuming she felt that.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
looked
I don't know.
Her stomach to me, but I couldn't.
Stop checking out her body,
Brandon. Yeah. God, you guys are so unfair.
The alcohol talking.
Yeah, totally. But anyways, so yeah, we get that heart-wrenching scene with Jasper, and I thought it was more sad because, or I guess sadder is the word I'm looking for. because this is his first time seeing Clark since she left Mount Weather, and he had so much faith in her.
Yeah.
And like every time
Clark will show take him, care
Clark
of
will
it.
Do it. Clark will save us. Clark will this.
Yeah.
And then just to have him lying there or sitting there with the woman he loves in his arms, dying because of her actions, was a great moment / heart-wrenching thing to have happen.
Yeah, and just even just thinking about it, just in general, it was it was just so hard. Especially, he even got mad at Monty. He's like, what did you do? And he's just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just did what I was told.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel bad because I feel like Clark literally had no choice, but at the same time, I feel like if there was more time, we could have figured out a better way instead of just killing innocent civilians. But again, I feel like it was, she was on a time constraint, and sadly enough, Maya was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Unsavable, we'll say.
Yeah. She was the sacrifice that we always bring up all the time in the show, and it sucked, because I did like Maya. She put all of her 110% into saving these guys, and she ended up dying in the process.
It was
so
sad.
I was pretty hurt by it, but at the same time, I feel like she would be proud. Because the fact that she did help them. They technically got out.
Yeah.
So she just couldn't get to... I mean, I don't even know if she would have been able to survive on the outside anyway.
She wouldn't have.
Yeah, so she knew.
I mean, yeah, she was basically... She was already dead from the moment that everyone moved to Section 5.
Exactly. Right. So I feel like she knew, but yeah, for Jasper's sake, though, that was pretty tough.
Right.
I really am enjoying watching the parallels between this show, the most... pop, probably overall, like, popular people in a strange land show, Lost, ever, and then the current most popular show on television, Walking Dead, which are all three have similar elements.
Right.
I think it's interesting that there are similar themes that go through all three shows,
mm-hmm.
and just how they like to borrow from each other, mm-hmm. and the kind of, it's like, I feel like I'm watching, not recycled, but like, oh yeah, I've seen this before.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
tropes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll get to it with Murphy, but there was like some pretty obvious Lost references in that whole section.
Right.
Is there anything else we're missing in Mount Weather and Clark and all that stuff that was huge?
I mean, nothing grand. I mean, we had the scene where Kane was... I mean, if we're going to rewind, we had the scene where Kane was pleading with Cage.
Right.
Saying that they would have donated their bone marrow.
Or at least...
Just bargaining.
Yeah. Which, I guess... brings up a question that I wanted to ask.
Ooh.
Or at least I wanted to put this on the table. In that
we don't
this
have any
episode,
room.
It's fine. I'll put it right here, right next to my glass. This whole episode, I feel like, basically told us that all of this could have been avoided if
nice.
We could have, if everyone on each side would have just took the time to talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost so many lives. Everyone's gone way beyond what they thought they were capable of in terms of the darkness in which they allow themselves to go into.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, there could have been diplomatic solutions to everything that happened, but everyone saw the other side as an offender or an other, for example.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that Mount Weather referred to the Grounders as savages and that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sad, but I feel like it reflects how we see each other.
Of course.
And like how wars are actually done, because it's not, it's always a war of ideals. It's, I believe this, so I'm going to kill
right.
for it, you know?
It's never black and white either.
Right.
Yeah. Any war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is really interesting. There were probably better solutions that we could have gone to. We just, once people start dying, once there's emotion that clouds those decisions, I think that's what a lot of these characters... I noticed we haven't talked about Bellamy at all this episode. I don't think we've even brought his name up. I mean, what do we think now... Now with his arc, he's come like a long way since two chicks, two guns, my tent.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I feel like he's definitely gotten into hero mode, I feel.
And a little, we didn't even talk about the almost Bell arc that we got at the end.
A lot of Bell arc in the last like 20 minutes of this episode.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a huge one though at the end. We got we got a cheek kiss. We didn't get a lips kiss. We got a cheek kiss.
No, I think Clark needs to pump the brakes on those lips, because she's just making out with everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
She just had her heart broken, Ben. Come on.
And she just saw a lot of death. I don't think she's ready to start.
She's not ready for that. She told Lexa.
Yeah.
Okay?
Seriously.
Just get off her, guys. Give her some time. She's got to go wander the woods with her handgun first.
Yeah.
But I definitely didn't think that Bellamy was going to go be on Clark's side, because I felt like he was kind of fighting her the whole time. And then at the very end, he's like, oh, what did he say? That was such a great line.
He said we'll meet again, right?
No, 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 not the very end. When he puts his hand on top of Clark's hand and they pull.
I think together. I think is what he said.
Yeah, something like that. And then the fact that he just realized, he's like, you know, I'd do anything for my sister and for our group, so
yeah,
we'll kill everybody. That's fine.
Right.
So so I liked that.
We're writing ourselves into a pretty interesting place. Here's the question I have for you guys. We've talked all season about how the kids are in control, and the kids really are the leaders. Mm-hmm. How are the kids not the leaders now? Like, you go into season three, and what do Abby and Kane really have to say anymore? Like, Clark 100% is the leader. The kids 100% call the shots. If the adults even begin to try to assert themselves as leaders, I'm just going to be like, you guys are ridiculous. Nothing you do works. They saved your life multiple times.
Yeah.
You know?
But Clark is gone now.
Where's she going to go?
That's my first question. I was like, where are you going to go? I get what you're doing. That's fine and all. I understand that you need to take some time. You've been through a lot. Cool. Go walk it off for however long you want to. But, like, where is she going to go? Really?
Look, Lexa, getting emotional is not a good look for you.
I just want to know where my baby is.
Let's just save this for predictions. And Dead Wells, you're dead, so you have no life.
I care about Clark. I've always cared about Clark.
I can still think with one hand, guys.
You want to fight about it? We can fight about it right now.
I'm dead. There's nothing you can do to me.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're dead to the audience, so I mean, really.
I know! I mean, that was like the utter betrayal. Like, you, Lexa.
So awesome. So we should probably get on to Jaha and Murphy, right?
Yes.
I just want to talk about them just a little bit.
Yeah. So we get them in a boat, and they're like, I love that Jaha was essentially just, if you aren't useful to him, he's throwing you overboard.
Oh, my God. Right.
And there was a giant, was it a leech? Yeah.
Some weird leech. Did anybody else think of Tremors? Because that's what I thought.
Yes. Especially when it, like, gobbled him up.
Yeah. It looked like Tremors, but in the water. So
you guys didn't think it was a water sarlacc? Star Wars?
Nice. Yeah.
It was a little bit of a water sarlacc. Its teeth looked like that. That's what I thought.
I mean, sarlaccs are stationary creatures. So even if it was in water, it would be at the bottom of the sea.
Get out! No, I'm just saying.
To me, it kind of looked like a trap. That's it.
It was a trap.
Jaha's crazy. This just in, guys. I was right. He's the villain. He's going crazy. I'm sure of it. And, yeah, that was like an aha moment that I had at the end of the episode, right? What if Jaha's the new villain? I think I was totally right.
Not to jump into predictions, but I feel like he's more of a puppet. He's an instrument for someone's game.
Especially with, Allie.
Yes.
Right.
Has anybody else figured out if she's like an acronym or something? If you do, I want to see it in the comments.
The hottest video projection I've ever seen.
Dude, I don't care. I thought of Smart House, and then I thought of this. And I was like, why are all the AIs hot?
It stands for Artificial Lovely Lady Intelligence.
Look at you. Yeah. I like that.
Wait, Artificial Lovely Lady Intelligence? You're using two letters from intelligence? Like the I and the E?
No, A-L-L-I.
Oh, I was thinking that was an E at the end of Allie.
Oh, no.
Usually there's a Y or an I-E.
You're thinking of a totally different Allie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to spell it.
Oh, you're thinking like, okay.
Yeah.
I can spell, guys.
I'm like, wait a minute.
yeah, I think that, like,
oh my God.
I felt like the whole Jaha is the new villain storyline was evidenced even from, like, the first scene where they're on the water. And he stops rowing, and he's like, get back to rowing, son. Or, and then he's like, my man. I really felt like it was even just his attitude and the way he's, like, sort of a dictator. That's clever. Somebody just told us.
Yeah, they spelled it A-L-I-E. Multiples. And some Jonal Blen said a lie.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's clever.
I really do.
Yeah.
Smart.
I felt like the Jaha's, and then he throws somebody, a person whose name is escaping me.
Oh, yes.
I think it's Carl.
Colin or something?
Colin?
Yeah, he throws somebody over the edge, and Murphy gets
Craig.
Craig. Yeah.
Craig!
So one guy gets eaten by the water sarlacc, and then he throws somebody else to the water sarlacc. And then they keep going. And then we got a sweet shot of the water sarlacc eating someone.
Yeah.
Comes out of the water.
Great.
I love when the show uses it.
Ridiculous. Jaws?
Yeah. It's awesome.
I'm glad that existed, mostly because I was like, how come we haven't seen anything mutated since the deer?
Yes.
And I guess that one mutant guy that hasn't been explained yet.
Yeah. I was like, so are we just going to pretend like that never happened?
I was going to come as that guy, but I ran out of the makeup. I'm sorry, guys. I was working on it all afternoon, and I stopped. Then I became Cage instead.
So you became a monster on the inside.
Yes. Look at
that. Very nice. Look at Tark.
That's what I do.
Amazing.
So yeah, they show up, and I was sort of already like, you know, and then Murphy's getting all upset with Jaha. So I just feel like I can't see a scenario where what they're doing with the plot right now, they're going to take Jaha into a noble place. I don't see, like, I don't know what the story would look like if he was going to become an integral part of the good guys again. It just right. seems like he's in this weird place where he's ready to be misled. This
yeah.
is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
He's weak, and I think he's too full of faith, and he's ready to be influenced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time for him to be brainwashed, I feel. I feel like he's actually kind of been teeter-tottering yeah. on that brainwash, especially yeah. since he was going mad in the Ark mm-hmm. before he came down in the missile that apparently this AI just has.
Yeah.
So, again, not to get into predictions, how in the freaking world did this missile get nicely displayed in this lovely mansion out of bum freaking nowhere?
I still think it was the drones gathered together picked it up and then put it where it needed to be. If they can deliver Amazon packages,
I mean,
they can also...
You have a point, good sir. You have a very, very good point. This makeup is making my eyes water. But I'm also just really emotional because
yeah,
I'm just
don't
like...
Don't cry.
Well, because not to completely dismiss Murphy, because obviously he was just having a grand old time in, yeah. in that lighthouse.
We'll
but, I mean... That whole the scene with the we don't obviously learn the guy's name on the tape.
Yeah,
but
the pretty boy in like the captain's jacket.
Yeah, and
like a cocktail jacket.
Who Ben is also addressed as.
I don't even. Like, yeah,
it's a good looking jacket. I wish that had come in that. Just a red jacket.
Dear God. And the fact that he committed suicide, it definitely leads to a lot of questions.
Well, you're supposed to assume, I believe, that who he's talking about told him to launch the missile is Allie.
Is Allie, yeah, which we all talked yeah. about.
And you're
probably just getting into predictions, probably.
Right. Yeah. I will say, this kind of... I don't know if you guys have seen Battlestar Galactica.
Just bits and pieces. I watched the whole thing.
This made me really think of that, in that, like, Allie would be... I don't remember her number. I want to say it's number 9. The person who seduced Gaius Baltar into
yes.
helping nuke Caprica. Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Number yeah. 6. I'm almost positive.
Number
yes.
6?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
I was going to kill him. Yeah.
At Radio TFB, everybody. Tweet him. He's very knowledgeable
awesome.
On the subject.
Yeah,
seriously. I love him. He's amazing.
He's great.
He is.
And handsome.
Yes, he is.
Very.
But yeah, so this really made me think of that. And I know that Battlestar was originally a inspiration for Rothenberg when he was writing
right.
and
right.
developing this series. So I'm hoping that they kind of use that as a jumping point, because we don't have a lot of information about like what started the nuclear war, what caused Earth to become uninhabitable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping they really dive into that. And so,
I hope so, too.
That said, predictions.
Predictions.
Now, you're After Buzz.
The only bad thing is because I'm watching a new British show. It's called The Prisoner, and they're talking about numbers.
Yeah.
But that's what I was thinking of. I'm like, Battlestar Galactica. I'm a, you know, the prisoner's the best. I don't know, but that's what I was thinking of, and I was like, oh, my brain's not all there. But anyway, we were talking about that we think that Allie, obviously, is the lady we were talking about, but our predictions were going all over the place. Like, I was saying that maybe Allie is a version of, like, his wife or girlfriend back in the time, and then maybe he didn't see her being perfect, so he made an AI of her, kind of, or she died from something, so he made an AI, and maybe the AI obviously went awry.
Yeah, it and, Skynetted.
Yeah, it Skynetted, and then he ended up killing himself.
Yeah.
That's my prediction, and then I don't really know what they're going to do with her story besides obviously influence Jaha to do something stupid.
Right. What do you think?
In. Clark's gonna go off into the woods with her handgun
totally
and her
Clark.
Sweet cloak.
she's wearing a jacket. No, she's wearing a cloak.
So sweet. She has like a yeah. metal hand. It's really cool.
She's
awesome.
Fashion.
She's awesome. He's gonna go after her. I mean, he's not gonna.
Yeah, I can't see him just chilling out at the Ark and just. I keep wanting to call it Camp Jaha, but he's not there anymore.
I think they're going to start out season 3 with him going after her, and we're gonna experience Bellark when he finds her. I think that's how they'll kick off season 3.
Do you right. think Octavia's going to go with him?
Maybe. Because the thing is, I was trying to figure out
at
Camp Jaha, like, what would Octavia's role be at that point? She's kind of like a warrior, but she's like, now she's seen both sides. I don't think she would become a leader of the Grounders.
No.
No. But I think that's gone.
Yeah, she's been rejected already.
We didn't talk about Lincoln.
Sweet and handsome with jacked abs.
No. Yes. Not just him as a person or a character, Rick Biddle, but his sweet
moments.
Because I definitely thought that he was going to go back to his ways. For sure.
Right.
And then he obviously picked up the sword and cut up, you know, Star Wars.
Because I thought maybe he was gonna reach for it, and then Octavia was gonna kill Cage.
Nah, I didn't think that, or Jasper maybe, but like no, yeah, I knew that Cage was going to die, but I didn't think it was gonna be, like I said, the Star Wars thing where it cuts off his hand and then go from there.
And
you know what I mean?
Gives him the drug.
It
was so great.
That was so great. I felt like we missed that, so I wanted to sprinkle.
I feel like. Thinking that he was going to take the drug, it was influenced by him being here, saying that he personally wanted Lincoln to be affected by this drug, like, through season 10.
Right.
So then we're like, oh, yeah, of course he's going to take the drug. But I thought, yeah, I agree with Alexis that it was great that he had a really moment, a great line, where he's like, the first one's always the worst, because that's what Cage said to him the first time he got it.
Yeah, which I thought was perfect.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice, too, that, like, it's not like he, like, just stands up like a, you know, like a Beauty and the Beast sort of moment where, like, you know, I'm the only one. Well, that's the wrong analogy. Completely forgot I ever said that. It's not like he just stands up in, like, an I'm going to overpower this addiction moment. I'm stronger than this. It's like, no, I'm going to reach for my sword and swing my body.
Yeah.
And, like, get a lucky shot on your hand, basically.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, he succeeded because of that. Like, if he had swung once and missed, Cage would have maybe stepped back and he would have just fallen back down.
Right.
And it wasn't like, it's not like a bigger than this. It's like a one desperate attempt sort of a thing.
Right.
I was hoping that maybe it was going to, like, kind of scare us and, like, he would have missed and he injected him, but it wouldn't have done anything, you know? It would have just been like, oh, I don't need this anymore. Toss and then stab or something like that.
Yeah.
But there is a question before we keep going with our predictions. Jason said the bombs went off in May 2052, but in the garage where they found Lincoln as a Reaper, there was a Christmas song thing, so I'm confused. I didn't think about that.
Interesting.
Wait. I'm assuming that the person is talking about that parking garage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that was inside of a car. You keep things in your car that you don't normally have around with you.
Yeah.
I mean, and we don't know what that storage garage was for. It could have been for someone's apartment. Yeah. It could have been long term storage for someone who was on a trip.
Jimmy the Maggot says Cage is not dead.
He got his hands. Well, it looked like he died when his. But it's true. He could be alive. They did leave that open because it's like Lincoln stabbed him through the head or something. Quick aside.
Yes.
This would be the moment if Jill Bauer is going to call in. So I'm putting it out there, Jill. If you're watching, you should call in right now. And if not, then we'll get you next season. I'm just going to give you the Skype number so that you have it in case you are able to call us. Right now. But in the meantime, thank you to all of you all season for keeping up with us and watching and tuning in, especially now that we're able to stream live sometimes, the chat bar and everything. Your comments have been invaluable. I love to interact, whether or not they are supportive or they're critical, and continue to interact with us through the off season. You know, I'll still be following everybody on the Twitter and whatnot.
We'll be sending out news and gossip, updates.
Somebody asked, where do you think the City of Lights is in accordance to our world? I'm really curious.
In accordance to our world?
I thought that the solar panels were the City of Lights because the light reflects off of it, you know? So I thought that that's what they meant by that. But obviously, we find out that, obviously, I'm guessing the solar panels are what is functioning Allie's mansion.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah, my original prediction for the City of Lights was Atlantic City. But now that they've crossed a portion of water, I'm going to assume that was one of the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
So I would assume that it's probably somewhere either in, because I don't know which direction they set off in, I would say either it's in the southern Canada area, in like maybe Michigan.
Ooh, do you think Clark's going to find the City of Lights?
That would be cool. That would be...
Because, I mean, obviously, we know that Jaha didn't find it. Because I don't think a mansion is the City of Lights. Because I don't know why that group would be like, yeah, go to this mansion. So I feel like maybe Clark might stumble on it. Maybe that'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Jill, if you are watching right now and you would like to call in right now, the best way to do it would be to tweet at any of us right now your Skype username, and we will call you right now. So if we don't hear from you in the next couple minutes, we will have to do it next season. But in the meantime, we can do our sign-offs, and if we hear from Jill, we'll take a quick phone call.
Okay. Did you have any predictions? Okay.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I was like, did you have a prediction? Because I feel like I was the only one that predicted.
Hey, guys, they can all call in at 424-256-1729.
Thank you.
Well, there Sweet. You go. I didn't mind. I think you have predictions now, right?
Yeah, I'll be quick. So I assume that Murphy is going to hunker down in his lighthouse, or he's going to try to explore what happened in that place. Also, I'm going to assume I would like a lot of episodes with Clark trying to work through what I assume she's going to have some kind of PTSD.
Right.
So I'd like to see some episodes of her trying to work through that.
Yeah.
And maybe stumbling across some of the desert people as she goes and maybe becoming like one of their prophets, because there seems to be a religious aspect that's being introduced into the show. And then I will also predict that Bellamy will stay in Camp Jaha, and he will try to assume a leadership role. And hopefully they'll find some kind of democratic system and try to rebuild, or it's going to be a venture to find the other portions of the Ark.
Yeah, because I forgot about that. They're probably somewhere.
Still out there. Yeah,
yeah, and they're not being jammed anymore.
Yeah.
Cool.
You think there's actual survivors, though?
I would hope so, yeah. Because, I mean, we got those people that were hanging off of the side of the cliff, and they joined Cap Jaha.
True.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So, cool. Is that, you guys have anything else?
That pretty much does it for me.
I'm super sad that this is it, guys, until season three, which obviously we don't have a release date yet, but we will be tweeting, and you guys can obviously tweet, Facebook, Instagram, all those great things, because we like to hear from you, and I love hearing what you guys have to think about the theories and stuff like that, especially for season three.
And
we're all
going to
be back here. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at atorres890.
I'm Ben Bateman, and you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Hit me up anytime you want, 24/7.
2 a.m. mostly. And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. It's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Tari J. Miller. That's J-A-Y.
Oh, guys, tell them what shows you guys are doing while we're gone, so they can keep watching us.
Oh, you can also find me on The Flash Panel, Arrow, and something else, which I do not remember at the moment, but it does not matter. Find me on AfterBuzzTV.com.
Ben?
I do The Americans, FX The Americans, on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock with Radio TFB, our buddy Josh, who's in the booth. That's a good one. I do The Branded Athlete, which is actually a sports show on Black Hollywood Live at 6 p.m. on Fridays. If you are a sports fan, I'm a huge sports fan, so you can tune in there. And I will be doing a series of 30 for 30 AfterBuzz recaps, the ESPN films, periodically over the next 6 months, doing a bunch of those. So that's what I do here.
Nice.
And you can also find me all over at AfterBuzzTV.com at Face Off, which is the makeup show. You can also find me at Castle, which I think might be ending soon, but still would like for you guys to come and join. And I'm also on Black Hollywood Live for the Geek Nerd Tech doing the video game segment.
Super awesome. Mm-hmm. Black Hollywood
nice.
Live.
Yay! Yay.
Oh, sorry! You can always hang out with me on Fridays.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. I'm going to do that.
Yes.
But again, thank you for joining us this whole season, following us on our own personal arcs, and essentially being amazing fans. Thank you for all the comments. Thank you for all the likes and subscribes and all of the wonderful comments and tweets and things that you've done over the course of the season. The show wouldn't be half as fun if it weren't for you guys. So once again, we thank you. And so until the fall season, until we see you again, take care of yourself. Thanks again for joining, and stay grounded.
Bye, guys.
Stay grounded, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later! The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.